This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better.
Morning, everybody.
What you're about to witness is no illusion.
Oh my God. And now, I'm too old for this. Where's that one ranked, Jeffrey? It's up there.
I mean, that's kind of the other thing that you realize, like in big time playoff series, every win feels like a bigger one.
Yeah, I mean, we're in terms of...
It's clearly the greatest performance.
Yeah, no, I mean in terms of, yes. In terms of games, well, and what's interesting is that Chris Harrington, in his piece at the Daily Memphian, wrote about the greatest playoff performances. And this one is the one you would put alongside Zeebo's. And it was interesting. Zeebo was there with his growl towel. And I think Zeebo had 36, and in the last 6 minutes, he took over, much like Ja in the last 4 minutes took over last night. I think this one is greater because, well, just the sheer number of points is greater, right? So it's 47, and it's in the next round.
I also think, with all due respect, of course, to Zeebo, to me, it was especially obvious once Jaren fouled out.
He had to do it. There was no one else to do it. There was no one else to do what he did. It was an unbelievable performance in terms of epic Grizzly playoff games. It's because it's still early in the series. It probably doesn't go up with the game six against the Clippers or closeout game against the Spurs but. It's up there with the big ones. It was because among other things, it totally saved the series. It 100% shaped this series and an unforgettable moment and series of moments last night at FedEx Forum. Today on the show, we have John Martin is going to roll in here at some point. Talk to John. And then Chris Harrington, who was courtside and has a piece up at the Daily Memphian, will join us. And then I think we'll talk to y'all. I think that's the way it'll go. We'll talk to John Martin, and then we'll talk to Chris Harrington, and then we will talk to you. These late nights, like, how do you think Memphis is feeling today?
Hungover.
Emotionally hungover or
everything.
Actually hungover?
Both. Tired. Like, when you're hungover, you're tired in general.
The late night is a huge part of it. And then the sort of epic ebbs and flows also just take it out of you. But then when it ends the way it ends, you're also energized, like you're floating on a cloud.
You can't go straight to bed.
Oh, you certainly can't go straight to bed. I mean, the way it normally works on this show is I start preparing at about 7 a.m. You know, I sort of know what I'm going to have a sense of what we're going to talk about. We know who you were going to interview, whatever else. But then I spend 2 hours preparing for the show. But last night, I didn't leave the arena till after 2. And even then, I get home, and I didn't. It was 3:30 or 4 by the time I went to bed.
Yeah, I don't think either you or Mark have slept much.
It's just insane. And because you're doing your damn best, and it's to capture it, right? Like, you're doing your best to capture it. For me, some of sports writing is insight. Some of sports writing is argument. Some of persuasion or whatever else. But in moments like this, I'm just trying to capture it. And so, I did my level best. The nice thing is I don't really have to prepare for the show because I lived it. We lived it. I was at every interview. I was, saw every bucket. Anyway, we will be immersing ourselves in the gloriousness of last night. In fact, why don't we just go ahead and crank up the old highlights and relive it?
DJ Khaled! Yes. Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter.
Starting with the Jaren Jackson 3.
Durant from the coffin corner has to get it in to Jackson at the top. Pump fakes the 3, steps to his right, fires the triple and hits, ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Jaren Jackson Jr. picking up right where he left off in game number 1. Grizzlies with the first bucket of the ball game.
Okay, well, things are relatively calm at that point. Things are relatively calm at that point.
I got the sense, and everyone knew, we've kind of discussed, like, what is the mentality right now. I don't know. I felt like after game 1, it was very confusing. Everyone did seem, when we took calls, there was a lot of optimism. But I think everyone knew, if this is going to be a series, this is the game they have to win.
And it is weird to have a game between these two teams where all the pre-game talk is physicality.
Yeah.
They're just, like, particularly when Steven Adams isn't there. And, like, but that was all the pre-game talk. And very clearly, very quickly, that came to be a thing. And we'll play that in a minute. Little Ja.
Morant slows down left wing. Dribbles between his leg with a nifty move. Step back 3 on the way. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. The Grizzlies starting like they did in game 1 with back-to-back 3s. Take an early 6-0 lead.
Things are going beautifully at this point. A little Xavier Tillman, who got the start once again.
Morant inside the foul line. Great feed underneath as Tillman catches and lays it in. Tillman slid over to the right side of the lane, Elliott, and Morant just drew the double team, found him wide open underneath the basket.
Things are looking golden at this point. And then the plot thickens. Do we have the Dylan the villain moment?
Peyton splits the defense, gets to the rim. He's fouled from behind by Brooks. And boy, Peyton hit the deck hard, and they're going to review it. Peyton is down. This may be a flagrant foul.
Yeah, it definitely could be a flagrant foul. And again, we talked about the transition defense. Guys have to make sure that they get back and communicate. He took the shot, so somebody else has to take Gary Payton Jr. as opposed to him trying to get back and get Gary Payton.
Steve Kerr is red hot.
Payton, he is very protective of his players. He got mad at Marcus Smart earlier this year when he got tangled up with Steph Curry.
Is that Payton you can hear moaning?
Oh, yeah. Brooks is going to get ejected here, bro. He's going to get tossed. He wound up, hit him in the back of the head from behind. I don't see any way that Dylan Brooks plays any more basketball
tonight.
Yeah, you got to look at this. This is very likely going to be a flagrant penalty, too.
Foul meets the criteria for a flagrant foul.
It's definitely flagrant one. If not, it could very well be flagrant two. I mean, I hate to say that. I'm not trying to be a naysayer. The Warriors bench is not happy. But you see him. He just came in and...
Maybe flagrant one.
No, I think this is upgraded.
But he went for the, you know, I mean, at least he went for the ball. But it, again,
yeah,
it's a hard foul.
Oohs and ahs from the crowd. Yeah. It's yeah. Well, but after what happened in game one, though, with Draymond Green.
But the Draymond Green was, the first foul was a flagrant one. The second one was not a basketball play. That was not a basketball play when he pulled your jersey down. At least he's attempting to. But again, flagrant one, but could be flagrant two.
Well, Gary Payton, thankfully,
is
up.
Nice try.
Yeah. He got him pretty good.
He got him real good.
Yeah, he got him pretty good.
And Payton hit the deck hard. There was nowhere for him to go. They continue to review the play. Scott Foster about to make the announcement here. We're here.
Now the floor has been upgraded to a flagrant foul penalty two for wind-up, impact, and follow-through to the head. While the player was prone to injury,
yep.
Dylan Brooks will be ejected from the game.
Yep.
Gary yep. Payton will shoot two, and they retain possession of the ball.
Dylan Brooks has been ejected in 2 minutes and 52 seconds of action. Scott Foster's right. There was wind-up follow-through, and there was a serious...
Yeah,
chance and injury, and the Warriors are red hot about it.
And it stinks. Gary Payton is out for the series, and that stinks. It just does. And I'm glad that Steve Kerr feels that way about his players. You know, after the game, he's saying this is, you know, he's playing his ass off. He should be enjoying it, and because of that reckless foul, he's out for the series. It sucks. You get into semantics about was it dirty? Dylan Brooks did not intend to injure Gary Payton II in that moment. He did not intend to injure him. But he was absolutely reckless in the play that he made. And Eric said it spot on. He was in the air. He was vulnerable. He wound up. He smacked him in the head. He was honestly frustrated that he had come out and missed a bunch of shots already. Like, he was picking up right where he left off in a not a positive way. And he did a stupid thing. There is this theory in the law that you are responsible for the foreseeable consequences of what happens. And here's the problem. He got injured. Now, again, I don't think he intended to injure him. So if that's what dirty means, there was no intent to injure, but it was reckless. And what happened was one of the range of foreseeable consequences. And because of that, as lots of people have noted, there is a real chance that he will be suspended for game three. Don't you think, Jeffrey?
There's a real chance. I mean, I think I would probably even lean to saying I think he will end up being suspended.
I think he will be suspended for game three, yes. And it was stupid. Again, like in terms of what is dirty, no, he wasn't intending. Do you believe Dylan Brooks was intending to injure him?
No, I actually think another aspect of the play that kind of got left out was that Ja technically fouled Payton first, and it slowed him up just a hair. I mean, I think Dylan was going for a chase down block. He's going full speed. He's behind the play. And I think the holdup, like you go for the chase down,
I mean,
big block,
you know,
and he hits him in the head. Like,
I get a little I got a little weary of the he broke the code thing. You know, that's a little dramatic.
Yeah.
It was no dirtier than what Draymond Green did the previous game. Like, Draymond Green hit Brandon Clark in the head. And then you can argue this is dirtier.
Yeah, it's my deal.
He grabbed him and made a clearly non-basketball play. If Brandon Clarke had fallen to the ground and blown out his knee and been lost for the series, I'll tell you what, Draymond Green would also be suspended.
I think that's likely, yeah.
You are responsible for the foreseeable consequences. Again, I don't think dirty. I don't think he was going to hurt him or anything else. Let's hear what, and I hate to interrupt because we're going to get to Ja's excellence, but people do want to know what we think of this and what the world thinks of this, and it will be an issue going forward because you're going to need Dylan Brooks to guard Steph. You didn't need him last night, as it turned out, particularly. Steph did not have a great game from three. Zaire Williams did a really remarkably good job given the circumstances. This is what the TNT crew said about it, and this is first Steve Kerr.
Just, you know, playing his butt off this year in the playoffs. You know, this should be the time of his life. And a guy comes in and whacks him across the head in midair. He broke the code. Dylan Brooks broke the code.
Did he break the code?
Yes and no. There is a code that when a guy's in midair, listen, when a guy's in midair and you're bigger than him and you touch him, physics take over. Definitely going to be off balance. He wound up. He hit him in the head. Did he do it on purpose? No. Let's say he wound up and, you know, he blocked the shot. It would have been a good block. But, one, he didn't jump. He did hit him in the head. So, yes, he broke the code. But did he break it on purpose and try to hurt young fella? I don't think so. I agree with him. The guy's been, you know, he's been a journeyman for a long time. He finally has a home. Got to be more careful on those plays. But, you know, I just think it was unfortunate that he hit him in the head.
Did he break the code?
No. It was just an accident. I don't think Dylan Brooks is a dirty player. He doesn't have that reputation. But first I want to say, guys, when you fall out the air, please don't try to catch yourself. That's one thing we talked about when I first got to the 76ers. They're like, guys, when you fall, get your hands up. Because elbows, fingers, and wrists, they will give and then you will break them. Fall on your shoulders, fall on your back, fall on your ass. They can take hard fall. He tried to catch himself. Can't do that. But I don't think he tried to hurt him. I think he tried. Man, the code is we don't try to hurt each other. And Dylan Brooks has never proven to me he's a dirty player. Sometimes you hit a guy and he gets hurt. And I think that was an accident. That's just my opinion.
I agree with almost all of that. Like, the way that Charles said it, the code is we don't try to hurt each other. And that is true. It was reckless, though, right?
No question.
It was reckless.
I wouldn't even use it. It was stupid.
And stupid, yeah. It was stupid, too. It was 100% stupid. I don't think there's any doubt it was stupid. So let's pick up. Let's rejoin the fray. And we'll get your thoughts on this as well going forward when we talk to you in the second hour. Let's resume with track 14. We'll pick it up because this was about Ja last night, ultimately. Let's pick up with Ja's bank shot.
Morant with Thompson on him. Morant, hesitation move, spins in the lane, hangs, banks, scores. How did he do it? He hung in the air for an eternity and banks it home.
That one was just ridiculous.
They were all ridiculous.
That one, he was going down. Like, it was insane. He follows it up with this three.
Morant, step back, straight away, three, ring it up. Put three on the board to open the scoring in the second half.
They kept daring him to shoot threes. He kept shooting the threes. And I guarantee you, when they are daring Ja Morant to shoot threes, they are not expecting him to go 5 of 12.
No, they're not.
It has been critical.
No, they're thinking that
they're thinking he's going to go 3 of 12.
Yes, at best.
At best. And we mentioned the aforementioned Zaire Williams. Here he is with a meaningful three.
Morant double teamed. Morant hounded, loses the handle, got pushed, feeds for Tillman to the right wing Williams. Open look at a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Great poise by Ja Morant, and Williams buries it.
Zaire Williams, you're starting the second half against the two-time champion Golden State Warriors with Xavier Tillman and Zaire Williams in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and Zaire's assignment was Steph.
And Zaire is like, go get Steph. Yeah. Like, it's incredible.
Oh, by the way, you've been out for a while? Okay,
yeah.
Well, try hard.
Desmond Bane was not himself. I was so irritated by people who kept tweeting at me, boy, the Warriors are doing this great job of bottling up a Desmond Bane.
Yeah, I think Desmond's back
Desmond's
is doing a pretty good job of bottling up.
Was doing a great job of bottling up Desmond Bane. Again, the Warriors are playing brilliant defense, all of that. They're really good, but that is not Desmond Bane. He's very clearly injured. And when this went in, it was like, oh, there's sort of a sense of relief.
Morant, high left post for Tillman, working on Poole. Spins baseline, double team comes. Tillman lost it, got it back, gives for Morant. Right wing Jackson, right corner Williams. Tees up a three, no good. Bane the offensive rebound. Bane out to the right wing, fires a three. Ring it up, put three on the board. Welcome back, Desmond Bane, the Bane train. Playing hard, even though he hasn't gotten into a groove on the offensive end. A big three right there.
Absolutely, on the offensive rebound. You just hope he continues to stay ready when he have opportunity to shoot. Knocked him down.
Let's go to track 19. Let's give people as much Ja Morant as they can possibly handle on this beautiful morning.
Morant from the top with 2 minutes remaining in the quarter, 9 on the shot clock. Backs it out towards midcourt. Jonathan Kuminga waits. Morant walks right into a straightaway three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Big triple. His fourth of the night for Ja Morant. 29 in the game. 77-73.
How about track 22? Ja again.
Morant with 15 on the shot clock. Curry waits. Morant spins. Curry tried to pull the chair. Morant at the window. Banks it up and in. Gets fouled. He'll get one more. Chance to tie the ball game for Ja Morant.
We mentioned Zaire Williams. Another big three.
Morant with Williams on his left. Gives to the rookie. Open three for the lead. Bring it up. Put three on the board. Zaire Williams with 14 in the game.
So here's the thing. Throughout the second half, the stuff the Warriors were getting looked easy. And they were missing so damn many threes, you couldn't quite believe it. The Warriors shoot 18.4% from three. And you're like, this can't keep happening, right? And the Grizzlies, everything they got was like Ja hanging in the air, doing a 360. Everything they got felt difficult. And plus, they were getting beat on the boards again. And I really felt like this lead that the Grizzlies had or nursed along was fragile. It felt highly fragile to me. And then Curry finally makes a couple of threes with 4:33 left. The Warriors are now up 4, 95-91. You got Desmond Bane with a bad back. You got Dillon Brooks out. And you got Jaren Jackson out. What the hell? what do they got?
They have 12.
Oh, my God. He was unbelievable. Let's just let Ja Morant roll through the end of the game.
97-93, Morant into the lane, got bumped, banks it up and in with a left-hand flip.
Wow.
Draymond Green wanted an offensive foul. Big shot by Morant. He's got 36. Morant goes to the right, picked up by Poole, who's got 5 fouls. Morant crosses over, hesitation move, little spin, float. It rattles home. What a move by Ja Morant, who's now got 41. Morant working at Wiggins, into the lane, got bumped, floats it up, floats it in. 3-point game, 30.7 seconds remaining.
The one on Poole, where Poole basically fell down,
I still thought the most impressive one, he didn't quite finish it, the breaking of Draymond's ankles, the little crossover tap, it hit kind of front iron and then back iron. That was something else.
And what was sweet to recall is the off day press conferences, the Warriors, it was all, yeah, well, we knew what they were going to do, and Klay's defense and Steph's defense on the previous drive, and we locked him up and we saw it coming and we snuffed it out and we. Well, everybody in the entire universe last night knew what they were going to do because there was no one else particularly to do it. And Ja with 47 points, 18 in the fourth quarter, 15 in the last 4 minutes. And by the way, all of this after getting poked in the eye at the end of the third quarter, he said that he was blurry for the rest of the game. And in fact, when he talked to us in the post game, was still a little blurry. And so I raised my hand and I said, well, how the hell did you do it then? And he pointed and he said, I have this other good eye. Wow. He's got this other good eye.
God gave me two.
I got this other good eye. Yeah, God gave me two. And so the Grizzlies find themselves improbably, suddenly, in a one-all tie with the Golden State Warriors after an absolutely epic performance by Ja Morant and a pretty damn heroic performance off, you know, coming off the bench by Zaire Williams, who was himself, you know, had been out with an injury, and who, by the way, asked to cover Steph Curry, outscored Steph Curry from three. He was 4 of 8 from three. Steph Curry was 3 of 11 from three. So, where are we now, Jeffrey?
Well, we're at 1-1, and I think the two things that are most fascinating to me are, number one, obviously, what's going to be the status of Dylan going forward. And then number two, I don't know. Like, to me, I didn't know what to make of game one. The way they celebrated, however, stood out to me.
The way the Warriors celebrated
stood out to me. Like, that was not a typical way that they have, that they've celebrated. And I understand they rarely go on the road for game one in a playoff series, but I think they know the Grizzlies are every bit as good as they are. And I think what we've seen through two games is it's a pretty even series. In game one, the Warriors made more plays down the stretch. And in game two, Ja Morant made more plays down the stretch.
Well, this is a point that Chris Harrington has been making from the beginning. It's like, when did the Warriors become this freaking juggernaut? Like, they have been, when they had Kevin Durant, they were a juggernaut, right? And they're a very good team. And they have deeply experienced players. But the Grizzlies were better than them in the regular season. The Grizzlies beat them straight up in the regular season. And the Grizzlies beat them last year in the play-in. Like yes, Jordan Poole is better now than he was then. Desmond Bane, at least theoretically, is better now than he was then. They have Clay back. He's not Clay. He's a very good player, but he's not that Clay. He's not the terrifying Hall of Famer Clay. What's weird about this is, so Chris's point is that these are two evenly matched teams, and now we have a series that is tied 1-1. The weird thing about this is it is continuing to go bizarrely not to form as the Warriors, and some of this is the absence of Steven Adams, right? But the Warriors continue to out-rebound the Grizzlies, 52.
I think it's twofold. I think, it's the lack of Steven Adams, but I also think there is a very concerted effort, and I noticed it more last night, and I think this is
what Porter was getting every damn Porter had suddenly turned into Dennis Rodman, for God's sakes.
I think what they were discussing of things they saw on film, it seems very obvious to me the Grizzlies were very concerned about getting too aggressive defensively and then getting out of position, and that's how they get the easy buckets. It seems to me that they're much more close out your man, stay on your man, and that creates more open space. And also, the Warriors take a lot of threes, and they're not making a lot of threes.
And there still were a lot of moments last night where you're like, damn, that's a lucky rebound.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily,
I don't feel like they're getting out physical or they're getting out. It's just
you're
like,
right. They take a lot of threes and they're not making a lot of threes.
It's a lot of long rebounds.
Now, I do think, I think a lot of this comes down to Desmond Bane's health. Dylan Brooks, I really do expect him to be suspended. There is that. But that's one of the caveats moving forward. Another one is, or pivot points moving forward, is Desmond Bane's health. I don't expect the Warriors to shoot 18% when they get home. Indeed, you had some stats last night on Twitter, I think, how much better they shoot at home than on the road.
Yes, and even more so, though, what's more interesting to me is it's starting to be more than just a trend for Klay and Steph. Like, they struggled towards the end of the Denver series. It just didn't matter.
Yeah.
And now what we're seeing is, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, well, they were, whatever, 3 of 18 last night. What was the final count? I know Steph.
Between them, Klay was 2 of 12 and Steph was 3 of 11.
So 5 of 23.
23.
So they're 5 of 23. They were just 6 of 17 in game one. Now, are you playing with fire? Or are you doing a pretty good job defending them? And, I mean, there's an argument right now that of the guys that they put on the floor, I'd never want Steph putting them, you know, putting the ball up consistently. But when's the last, like, back-breaking three that Steph made that was a bank shot? Like, I don't think they're in form. And then I definitely don't feel, like, other than just having PTSD of watching number 11 for the Warriors rise up and shoot a three.
No, like I said, Klay's not Klay Thompson. He's just not. He's not the same dude as one would expect. And Steph is 34. And, you know, this is the younger, springier, more athletic team. Jordan Poole's awesome. Like,
yeah.
Jordan Poole is awesome. But now, on the other hand, if it's that Desmond Bane from last night who's injured for the rest of the series, happily now you've got till Saturday. And Taylor Jenkins said that he had
argued up till Monday
that he had made some progress between, you know, when he Sunday he said and last night. So now he does have a flight and whatever else. But if he can get back to being Desmond Bane, I really like their chances. Interesting game from Jaren Jackson Jr. So much of Jaren just seems like confidence, doesn't it?
Yes.
Offensively.
100%.
And he came out, it looked like at the beginning, look at this. It's a continuation of the last two games. And then somewhere along the way, it lost it.
Yeah, and I this was the first time he got into foul trouble, and I thought he was a little unlucky. I thought for the most part.
Oh, I thought that was true, too. I just thought taking three-pointers, he was 2 of 7. He started out, and then all of a sudden it was like to me, it's a confidence thing.
Oh, there's no question. Offense leads to defense for him.
And so, you know, but it has become an absolutely fascinating series. And by the way, fun as hell. It is interesting.
Oh my gosh.
It is interesting to see on Twitter, and I revel in this, how much the country is enjoying this series. It is fun as hell. Easily the most fun series out there, right? People love watching the Warriors and people love watching the Grizzlies because you've got these two incandescent stars in Steph. Steph is Chris made the point in his piece today, the biggest star in the NBA right now, in the sense of, and
he's certainly the biggest star remaining in the playoffs.
He's certainly the biggest star remaining in the playoffs. And then you got Ja, who's the most fun to watch in the league. And so no wonder they're smashing television records. And it's just it's a blast to watch. Plus, you know, I would never have wished it upon Gary Payton II to be injured. But you also have the emotion of this thing. We haven't even mentioned Draymond Green flipping off the crowd.
Double birds.
Draymond Green, I actually think I had a different take on this, and I don't think you don't think this through the way I do.
Mm-mm.
And it's maybe because I went to an Ivy League
mm-hmm.
school,
mm-hmm.
but Draymond catches an elbow. He's bleeding. And as he's walking to the locker room, he holds up two fingers, pretty much predicting that this is going to be 1-1 at the end of the game.
Ah, I see what he did.
You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college.
He knew that this was looking grim for
me.
Just making a...
No question.
He was just calling the game
at
that point. Yeah, people think he was flipping off the crowd. No, he was flipping off the crowd. And then he went the old I'm richer than you thing.
Yeah,
that was classy.
That was classy,
Draymond.
Stuff.
Draymond said, because the fans were whooping it up, And Draymond said,
well, first he went, I could have been concussed. Not that I was concussed.
I could have been.
I could have been concussed. Well, Draymond, we're all human beings. We know what it looks like when somebody's concussed.
And he said that they must have been cheering because they knew I was going to get fined. I make $25 million. Always classy to go with the I make more money than you make. How much money do you make response from Draymond? So my inability to loathe Draymond, which was temporarily suspended, I got it back, Jeffrey.
Yeah. No, listen, again, I'm not going to sit here and say told you so to everyone.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, don't let it happen again.
Oh, my God. What a freaking night at FedEx Forum. We will be spending a good deal of time today talking about it. Next with John Martin, then with Chris Harrington, and then with you. You may have to listen. You may need to look sharp straight into the Western Conference Finals at this point.
Maybe beyond.
And maybe even beyond. And so this would be, we got a little break now. This would be a good time to get to Oak Hall. It's time to, you know, take a pause, do a little self-scouting, see what's going on in the closet, and realize that they have bursting with summer and spring stuff there. Beautiful clothes. You got a spring or summer wedding coming up. You want to get a new sport coat or Mother's Day. And you don't naturally necessarily think Oak Hall and Mother's Day. I had to get a gift for someone of the opposite gender for Christmas and was helpless, didn't know what to do, walked in there. They set me right straight, and I just said, I don't know. That's the, you know, I go in with the I. Actually, it's the same approach I have to the men's department. I just say, what do y'all think here? Like, help me out.
Let me give you some age ranges,
and they do beautifully by me, and they will do by you. Go see our friends at Oak Hall. We're gonna take a break. Come back, talk to John Martin on the other side. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All kinds of moms out there. There's working moms. There's stay-at-home moms who are also working moms. There's stepmoms. There's grandmoms. There's your pet's mom. There's bonus moms. Whatever kind of mom is in your life, they all want diamonds from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Buy mom bigger, brighter diamonds during the Mother's Day diamond sale going on right now. Shockingly affordable. Mom and child diamond heart necklace. It's a necklace with a silhouette of a mom cradling her baby inside of a heart, highlighted with several sparkling round diamonds. It starts at only $89. Quarter carat diamond hoop earrings, $3.99. They got the diamond paw necklace for your pet's mom. That's $119. Gorgeous thing. They're so helpful in there. I said this before, but like I have an old pocket watch from my dad gave my dad's pocket watch, and they were able to restore it for me. Yeah, they're just great people at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and they'll help you celebrate your mom. You've got five convenient locations. Bigger, brighter diamonds. Check them out online at rijewelers.com. Joined now by John Martin. John, every single day, I'm an avid listener of the show from 11 until 2. And John was taking in the proceedings on the television last night. How did it look, John?
The crowd, you mean?
Just the whole thing. How'd the whole thing? Does your heart swell with pride of Memphis and the whole? It's in an unbelievably thrilling series. Mm-hmm. A hell of a lot of fun to watch. It's all taking place in Memphis, Tennessee. I do wish I could be there soaking it all in. And, you know, I wanted to hear what they had to say about the Dylan foul, for example, at halftime. I like consuming it both ways.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. It was great. You know, my wife said she thought the crowd could be louder. I don't know if that was just the result of like our sound system or whatever. But, you know, the crowd has come under fire. Some great fire in these playoffs.
Not lately.
Well, these playoffs.
And honestly, the crowd, no, for that one game.
Was the crowd loud last night?
Yeah. Okay. The crowd was loud last night.
Hey, Tuesday night, late tip, it's tough.
No, it wasn't tough. It was loud. There was nothing tough about it. And, in fact, the complaint was in, I don't know which game it was, in the Timberwolves series, that they were not there at the tip, late arriving, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The last two games, they've been there at the tip. And I will not have you disparaging Memphians today on my radio show. If you want to spend your radio show disparaging Memphians, you can do that, but you will not do that on my radio show. Let's start with the foul. Dirty, not dirty.
No, it wasn't dirty, but that doesn't change the outcome of it. That doesn't change what's ultimately going to happen. So really my opinion on whether it was dirty or not and your opinion on it, whether it was dirty or not, is not going to be relevant.
People want to know if it was dirty.
It wasn't dirty. It was unnecessary, though, and it was reckless.
Stupid and reckless and those things.
And
right.
because A, Draymond Green already got thrown out, and B, Gary Payton got hurt, yes, Dylan will not be playing on Saturday.
Here's the thing. If you get in your car and you drive drunk home, and you happen to hit someone, mm-hmm. and they die.
Yep.
You are not intending to kill that person.
Right. But because you killed that person.
Because you did something stupid and reckless.
Yes.
You will go. You will be charged
with
homicide. And and you did the same thing a million times. You would have driven home, and you would have gotten home safely, probably.
Yes.
And you wouldn't have hit anybody
else. Or even if you drove home drunk, got pulled over, and got a DUI.
Right.
But you didn't kill anybody. But
you didn't kill anybody. That would have been different too.
You could have gotten that.
But because you killed somebody in the process, the punishment will be different.
Absolutely.
And that is what is happening here.
It's an eye for an eye kind of deal. And yes, you know, I could spin it to where they're better off without Dylan in this
bold
series. I'm saying I could spin it that way.
Yeah, it's not true.
But they won that game without him, and quite frankly, he has given them
nothing. There is no question. He has not been good.
Yeah.
And
the emergence of Zaire has just been a huge revelation.
Yeah, but like even when he is, what's amazing is you would think that Dylan, and these things are obviously related. You would think that Dylan, having had the game that he had in game one, when he was very good defensively, but was crap offensively, when he said, if I had played better, we would have won, you would have thought he might have said, all right, I'm going to come into game two and I'm going to be more judicious with my shots. I'm going to play lockdown defense and either drive the ball or take wide open shots.
Yep.
And instead he comes out and he starts forcing up shot after shot after shot, misses shot after shot after shot, goes 0 for 3.
Yep.
In 2 minutes and 52 seconds is in a great start to the Grizzlies is the only thing that's going wrong. And then he's obviously frustrated.
Yeah.
And because he's frustrated, he took the swing that he took.
No, Dylan might need to get suspended, quite frankly. Like, Taylor, if it wasn't going to be from the NBA, maybe Taylor Jenkins should have done it.
Well, right. Taylor did not object. Taylor said, I accept the ruling. You know, like,
yeah, well, you don't have a choice.
What are you going to say?
Yeah.
But this idea that you broke the freaking code, come on, Steve Kerr.
That piece of it is
a little dramatic.
Especially when you employ the widely accepted dirtiest player in the NBA.
Yeah,
Draymond Green.
That's
rich coming
Steve
from you.
Kerr at the end of between the break was an interview and called it dirty.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if there's ever any audio of Steve Kerr calling Draymond dirty.
No, it was Justin Moore from Ingram Hill who had a great tweet I saw. Like somebody, you know, they're posting all the former incidents that Draymond had, right? Where he kicked Steven Adams in nuts.
Right.
Justin Moore said he was just checking him for a hernia.
Right.
And then he had like the pictures of him poking LeBron's eye out. Justin Moore said, oh, he was just checking him for glaucoma.
Right.
And then there's another one of the same exact incident. He says, oh, he was just doing it again to make sure. So the point is that
why be out there calling the other guys dirty if you're not going to call your guy dirty?
Well, you know, make sure, you know, your side of the street is clean, brother, right?
And his side of the street is not clean.
No. So that's the piece where I'm just like
a little bit of hypocrisy there,
brother.
From Steve Kerr.
Yeah, yeah, you get a load of this guy.
It's unfortunate. I feel bad for Gary Payton.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's not his fault. It's and you know, I mean, it was.
But again, it was not intended.
And,
but
yeah, Dylan did not set out to hurt.
I am going to hurt Gary Payton II. No, he did not do that. But
if you're going to do that, you would do it on Steph. You would hurt Steph. You wouldn't waste it on Gary Payton.
Right. Exactly right.
Which, again, just another bad decision on Dylan's part. If you're going to foul somebody like that, do it for Steph.
Ja's greatest game ever.
Yeah, I think you have to say it is because of the stage and the moment and the sort of situation. Yeah, I think so.
Clearly Ja's greatest game ever.
And because a number of factors, you're down 0-1. You don't have Dylan Brooks, your best defender, on the perimeter. Desmond Bain is just, like, he's doing his best. God bless him. But he's just not even close to himself. So it's really incumbent upon you in this moment to lift your team. It's all on you. And Buddy, he did.
It's amazing he did it. Like after game one, they're like, we knew it was going to be Ja, and so we were ready, and we stopped him.
Yep.
Well, they knew it was going to be Ja.
Oh, yeah. He is transcending that piece of the NBA player lexicon, right? Like, he is no longer a guy who you're going to be able to shut down or stop. It's a matter of can we force him into a miss?
And plus, they're giving him the threes, and I don't have confidence when he takes the threes, but if he's going to make 5 of 12.
Well, and again, he did it in game one.
Yeah, he did it in game one. He had 4 in game one. He had 5 in game two.
Like, there was a moment in the fourth quarter where me and Sam were watching the game, and I looked at Sam and I said, that guy plays in Memphis. Like, that guy is a Memphis Grizzly. You know, and that is a
the guy
hell of a
leads
thing.
The series in 3-pointers.
Yeah, it's like he was doing it all kinds of ways, man. Like
he was doing step backs. I thought the Jordan Poole one was the best though.
Oh.
When he got Jordan Poole to basically fall down, like that was just Jordan Poole is an athletic young fella.
Nobody talked about it, but even on the inbound with Wiggins, he juked Wiggins out of his shoes. Wiggins like
Wiggins was trying to foul him and couldn't get to him.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Like, it was like it was a non-scoring play, so nobody talked about it. But like, Wiggins couldn't even foul him. So yeah, I mean, it was a virtuoso performance, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to watch that man perform for the hometown team.
How do you now feel about the series going forward? How did you feel about the series when it started?
I said Warriors in 7 when it started.
Okay,
and that's how I feel still.
They just get out.
I mean, to be honest, you want me to just
I said Warriors in 6.
Right. So I mean, I'm even more of a homer than you are because I say it's going 7.
Right.
I think it is going to go 7. I think the Grizzlies. They don't win Game 3. Game 3 is an L, no matter what. They're losing on Saturday. Like, that's just. I hope everybody's prepared for that. But I think they can win Game 4.
No yep. Dylan. Don't you think that Desmond's back is a huge key to what happens in the rest of the series?
It couldn't be more obvious. Yeah. Couldn't be more obvious.
You can't win with that Dylan. I mean, with that Desmond Bane. You will not win the series with that Desmond Bane.
Yeah, well, Dylan's absent, so you can't win with him. And you know, I mean, like, you don't have him right now.
Right.
You got the ghost of Dylan, and then yes, a shell of Desmond, because he's, you know, the hope would be. I mean,
you're a shooter yourself. Have you ever had a bad back?
No, but you know, my man Mike has struggled with that.
Mike Miller,
yeah,
is a shooter.
Yeah,
and he struggled with a bad back.
Yeah. Yeah, and he still does. And he's had, you know, hernia surgeries and everything like that. It's, you know, it's a debilitating thing. Like, he has to use, like, a cane to get around.
Well, the problem with Desmond, he's got to carry that upper body around, you know?
That's right, man. He's a unit.
I have got the same problem, you know?
Yeah.
It'll put pressure on your back have those shoulders like that.
If you told me Desmond Bane is going to ultimately be fine and that, like, by come game four.
Desmond Bane is going to be Timberwolves Desmond Bane. They win the series.
They could. I mean, you know, it's still the Warriors. They could.
Is it really the Warriors? You saw that last night. Let's be honest. The Grizzlies, it was the last 5 minutes of Ja were unbelievable.
Yeah.
The whole Ja was unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
But there was a part of that game when the Grizzlies went 13 of 14 possessions without scoring.
Yes.
And when the Warriors couldn't put them away, first it was the Grizzlies should be winning by 15 here,
yep.
but they're not.
Yep. Yep.
And then it was like the Warriors should be like, it was in the middle of the second half. It was not particularly well played. It was not. This didn't feel like Death Star Warriors to me.
No, I mean, that's fair. And Clay is like, whoa, what is going on with him, man? Because he has been dreadful.
I don't know if you know this, he had some injuries.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think it's going to look a lot different on Saturday. That's what I will say.
Like, it will, and that's why in the end, you need Dylan, is because nice as Zaire, like admirable. By the way, he's going to be a stud.
You think he's going to be a stud?
Don't you think so?
I think he has shown some very...
I don't know all-star level stud, but he is going to be a very good player.
I was texting with Drew earlier today about this, right?
Yeah.
I told him, and he can vouch for this, I told him to max bet Grizz. I know he does. He can't do that because he covers the team, but I told him I'd be doing that, right? And I texted him, I said, is Desmond Bane fine? He said, he's practicing. I was like, all right, I'm maxing. I'm putting the Daily Memphian salary on this game.
You just said you're still sticking with the Warriors at 7.
For the series. But that requires games. The Grizzlies are going to win some games.
You're going to max bet certain games.
Yes,
okay.
Which I did last night. First quarter, first half, full game trifecta. You're welcome.
Boom.
That was easy.
How much did you make?
Easy money. I doubled my Daily Memphian salary, so that was fun. but we were texting this morning about it, and he says he thinks Zaire Williams is going to be like really, 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 really good.
Okay.
And I said
he used more reallys than I used.
Yeah.
Then.
I said, you know, look, I saw some promise. I saw some flash. Like, for him to be able to step into a situation like that in the playoffs against that team and make 4 threes, that is undeniably impressive. And it gives me a lot of hope about what he can be. But
he's not making the threes by accident.
No, I agree.
He's got beautiful form.
He does. He does. And he made some defensive
plays.
He's
athletic.
Like, yeah.
He's got beautiful form, and he looks like he's 12.
But I need to see from him, does he have a move off the bounce? Does he have a move that he can go to score non-three?
The answer to that right now is no.
Correct. So that's what I need to see develop.
Right. But
I'm ready to sort of,
but
you know, crown
can,
him.
You can be superb as a, I don't know if you've ever heard this term, I invented it, 3-and-D player.
Yeah, no, I think he absolutely has a chance to be a good, reliable player for the Grizzlies. I did not know that.
Not just reliable, an impactful.
It's the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing.
And then
I think he'll be good as.
But no, if he
won't be as good as Desmond Bane.
No,
he will not be as good as Desmond Bane.
I'm not going to put a ceiling on him. I'm not going to put a ceiling on anybody. I'm not going to say
he is not. He is not going to be as good as Desmond Bane.
I'm not going to say you can't be as good as Colin Cowherd. I'm just not going to put a ceiling on you, man.
No, it's.
I don't. I'm not in the business of putting ceilings on people.
That's fine.
You know,
but you and I both know he cannot be as good as Desmond Bane. He's not going to be as good as Desmond Bane.
So I went yesterday. Because I'm talking so much. I have throat issues. And so I went to see Dr. Touliatis, who was a ENT yesterday, right? And he has, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. He hasn't renewed yet his season tickets for the Tigers. And he wanted to know, should he? Like, are they going to be good? He's a big Tiger guy. Mm-hmm. He's a great ENT.
He doesn't sound
fabulous
like it.
Doctor. Yeah, he's a longtime Tiger supporter. He's just kind of wondering what next year is going to be like.
What's his name?
Tuliatis.
Tuliatis. Brother, Dr. Tuliatis.
Dr. T. Also, by the way, Iron Tribe. You know Iron Tribe?
Yes.
He's the owner. He's one of the owners of Iron Tribe in town.
Dr. T. Let me put it this way.
Give it to us straight.
I'm going to give him a message.
Yeah.
They need you more than ever.
Okay, that's fine. I want your message on the team.
Yeah. I mean, they have Kidder Davis. I heard.
How about Biggs?
Yeah, I heard earlier this week that they're like Penny is in there with some big time transfer portal players. I didn't hear specific names, but you know, there's some names that have been floated out there. You know, the Sharp kid from West Kentucky, right? He's like 7'5", average like 15 blocks a game or something crazy like that. You know, so absolutely Caleb Murphy when he's done with the draft, the kid from South Florida, who's, you know, some people believe is an NBA player. So yeah, I mean, I think they're
going to be really good. We just don't know if there's going to be a postseason. That wouldn't be unfolding in Memphis anyway.
That's correct. So, Dr. T, you got to get
out there. What do you think of the cowards leaving the AAC early?
Oh, I was like Colin Cowherd. What?
No, the cowards. No, the Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF are negotiating to leave early. It seems like they're going to leave early after one. Just this will be our last year with Houston.
Well, they should.
They should.
Why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I tell you, hey, man, you can have a pay raise in 2 years, you got a pay raise in 1 year. I'll hold off for two. No, I mean, everybody wants to get to that money.
Are you going to be talking about the Grizzlies game on your show today?
Yeah, it'll come up probably in between some of the way y'all like to put it. It'll probably come in between a long hour on Tiger basketball and something on the federal interest rates
being raised.
Yeah, and then we'll probably at 1:30 we may hit the Grizzlies for 5 minutes.
Right.
Jay Williams is going to be in studio.
In studio.
Yes, Jay Williams being studio.
Jay Williams, and see, he was calling it. He didn't call it dirty.
Well, he was hard on Dylan. He was hard on Dilly Dilly.
He was hard on Dylan. So Jay Williams in studio.
You know, he was hard on me for saying, like, hey, you know, wait a minute. I don't know if we can, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on championship. That's a lot. But he's coming in here saying, you know, Dylan Brooks got to get thrown out. I mean, we're just going to have to confront this.
Yep. You're going to have to throw it down. Thanks. Appreciate it, John. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Chris Harrington. We'll do that next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.